Okay, I'm going to title my message, He Has Risen. Okay, I put He Has Risen because, actually it should be He Is Risen, but I put He Has Risen because in Mark chapter 16 verse 1 to 8 says that He has risen. He has risen at that moment, but Jesus is risen until today. Do you understand me? Okay, Mark 16, 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, bought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying one to another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is a place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Father, anoint the message right now. In Jesus' name I pray. We have just watched the drama. Okay, I think they are very accurate. Okay, in the beginning, you saw three ladies. Am I correct? Three ladies were dancing. We see three women approaching the tomb. The three of them was Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. They were carrying something. Each one was carrying something. They bought spices to anoint Jesus. Although these three women have seen Joseph and Nicodemus prepare and place the body of Jesus in the tomb, apparently because of the Sabbath, because on Sabbath they cannot do anything, because of the limitation of time, something of the Jewish tradition, burial procedure may have been left out, possibly the aromatic candles and some particular type of spices which they brought along. So these three women were going to properly finish and anoint Jesus. That was not done on the first day of the week. You listen carefully. Today is the first day of the week, Sunday. The Jewish Sabbath, our Saturday, is the last day of the week and commemorates the rest of God after the work of creation. But for Christian, it is a new day. The Christian Sunday commemorates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today is Resurrection Sunday. So these three women went to the tomb in order to carry out the last offices of love for their dear dead and embalm Jesus' body with their spices. They kept worrying. They kept worrying and they kept asking one another over and over again as they walked towards the tomb, "Who is going to roll away the stone?" The stone was round-shaped. I think the person that did this, okay, the group that did this is very well done. Let's give them warm applause. Okay, I think this is very warm. This slab was round. Round. The stone was round and shaped to fit into the sloping. It was believed that there was a trench here. A trench. So the stone was rolled there. It was easy to roll in, but very difficult to roll it out. Okay, so I think if the stone must be in tons. The three women were worried how to roll away the stone. They were always looking down. The three, if you study the Bible properly, they was always looking down. They only look up later when they saw the stone. They were looking down because they were very discouraged, demonstrating they were very downcast as a result of the death of Jesus Christ. But when they arrived, they look up and saw that the stone was rolled away. Beautiful. It seems that the stone was knocked out of its place by an earthquake caused by the angel. I like the word rolled away. There's a possibility that the angel rolled away the stone. No human being can roll away the stone. So an angel is always much stronger than human being. So it's believed that the angel rolled away the stone. The Gospel of Luke confirmed that at least at some point, I don't know whether three of them or one of them went in. Three other women or one woman went in. Mark wrote that they saw a young man. I know some gospel said two, okay, but let's concentrate on Mark. Mark wrote that they saw a young man sitting inside at the right of the slab stone. Okay, there is a slab stone. Okay, it is not bamboo bench, okay? It's a slab stone at the right. Okay, and he was wearing white robes. Some translations say that his white robe was in dazzling apparel. That means it was shining bright. Definitely, it is an angel. Okay, I will tell you that the angels are much brighter than any one of us, indicating he is an angel. Immediately, this angel encouraged the three women not to be amazed. Humans are always afraid. Okay, if you see a ghost apparition, even if you see an angel, you will always be amazed and frightened at the physical manifestation of the spiritual realm. This angel announced that Jesus of Nazareth, who had been crucified, has risen. That's why the title, He Has Risen. It is very interesting that historian told us, you know, they talk about the rope, the cloth, right? The embalming cloth. Historian told us, okay, that the embalming cloth was still on the slab. It's just that without the body, it has sunk down. It's just that the body has disappeared. But the cloth, the embalming cloth, is still neatly placed there. How did the body come out of the cloth? Without removing the cloth, it's nothing except it is miraculous. Am I correct? Yes, I mean, it was not that Jesus took out the cloth. No, the body just disappeared. And the cloth, the embalming cloth, just sank down. Jesus is now known as the crucified one. When we see Jesus, I just want to tell you something. He still has a mark of the crucifixion, which he shows to doubting Thomas. Okay? The mark of crucifixion become the badge of honor and glory. Jesus is the only person of the Trinity with a physical body. Yes. With a physical body. What can we learn from this portion of scripture? Okay, my message will be very short. Okay, I thought that the interval will be quite long. What can we learn from this portion of scripture? Number one, the resurrection of Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verse 5 and 6 says, entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed, and they said to them, do not be amazed, for you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is a place where they laid him. So he showed them the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is the central pillar of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, it is hopeless. You are just believing in another religion. All the religion leaders of the world, all the leaders of all religion in the world have died. We cannot have faith in all these other religion of the world is because the sins is still with them. Nobody has paid the price for our sin. But the Christian faith, the resurrection is a central theme. We can tell the whole world that the leader that we are following has risen and is alive even until today. The central faith, the central pillar of the Christian faith is the resurrection. This shows God's approval of Jesus' life and sacrifice. And the resurrection is a recurring theme in the gospel and in the book of Paul, all the books of Paul and even Peter. It is a confirmation of God's acceptance. That means God was pleased with the sacrifice. Pleased with the sacrifice of the substitutionary death of the Son. Theologically, you know how important the resurrection is? The Trinity, the three personhood of the Godhood, the three persons of the Godhood were involved in the resurrection. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 24. It talks about the Father. It says this. God the Father had raised up Jesus. God the Father has raised up Jesus, having loosed the pain of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden to it. It's not possible that death can control Jesus. Then there was God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Holy Spirit was involved. Jesus was involved in the resurrection. In John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus says, the Son says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. In 3 days, I will raise it up. So it clearly shows the power, the importance of the resurrection. Okay, we thank God for Good Friday. Good Friday is not enough. We thank God for Resurrection Sunday. And the three persons of the Godhood were involved in this resurrection. They were active in Christ's resurrection. Number two, the announcement of the resurrection to the disciple and Peter. It says here in Mark chapter 16, 7b, the second part. But go and tell his disciple and Peter. Go and tell his disciple and Peter. You must understand, I don't know whether you have watched one of the movies, okay, that was shown in Netflix was very, very good. Okay, it talks about Jesus was resurrected and all the disciples were still in hiding. They were afraid because they were afraid. They were really afraid because the Pharisees and the high priests were going after all the disciples of Jesus Christ. So you must understand, it was Resurrection Sunday. But you must understand the mindset and the feeling, the emotion, the fear that was going through all the disciples of Jesus Christ at that time, in the circumstances. Jesus was dead. And it was better to stay in cover. It was better to stay undercover until they are no longer in danger. That was what they were doing. There's no evidence to support the idea that the 11 disciples had wanted to go and visit the tomb. They never have this thought at all. I respect the tree lady. I mean, tremendous love. Better than the 11 disciples. The three women, they don't care. They don't care. That's something about women. They don't care. They just want to express their love and their concern for Jesus. There's no evidence to support the idea that the disciples intend to go to the tomb. It seems that none of them intended to visit the tomb. To put it correctly, they were very, very discouraged. Things has not gone the way they wanted, and all their dreams and hope were gone. What they have believed for that 3.5 years has been utterly fruitless in their mind. To say the least, they were utterly disappointed. The 11 disciples were utterly disappointed. That means their hope was shattered. Everything was gone. They thought it was finished. They were so hopeless that when the women ran to tell the rest of the disciples, the rest of the disciples thought them mad. Because they have seen with their own eyes, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. The attitude of the woman, they also accept the death of Jesus Christ. That's why they come to pay homage and to put spices to embalm the body of Jesus Christ. The attitude of the disciple is that everything had finished in tragedy. But no, the angel was there and told the three women to translate, to decimate, deliver all the messages that Jesus of Nazarene, the crucified one, has risen. Jesus has risen. Resurrection of Jesus is verified historically. After his resurrection, Jesus remained on earth for 40 days. Yes, he went to paradise to get all the old Jews, okay, all the people that believe in Jesus, get them from paradise to be with God in heaven. But he stayed on for 40 days appearing and talking to the apostle. I think the purpose was to show the world and to show the disciple that he is alive. So the apostle, he appeared to the apostle, to many of these followers. The resurrection was as follows. Immediately after the resurrection, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, the first three to see. They remember Peter and John run. Remember, they all run. We heard they run to the tomb. Peter went in. John was younger. John was faster. But John did not enter the tomb. But Peter just forget about John. He just went inside. So Peter saw the two travelers on the road to Damascus, Emmaus. All the disciples except Thomas, because he doubted the resurrection of Jesus, said, unless I see the neoprene hand, then I will believe. So there was one time the 11 disciples saw Jesus. Then there's another 1 week later, one Sunday later, all the disciples this time, including Thomas, saw Jesus. Then 7 disciples, they were doing their fishing, they were going back to their occupation, fishing in Galilee. Jesus was there. Jesus called them, have you finished fishing? Have you caught any? Come, bring your fish and let's build a fire and let's fellowship together. And Jesus was there. There was a time when Jesus talked to James, talked to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Then Peter said, yes, God, I believe you. I love you. There was the 7 disciples by the Sea of Galilee. Then 500 people at one time in Galilee saw him. Then the disciple, when they were receiving the commission, saw the resurrected Christ. The apostle, when Jesus was ascended, saw the resurrected Christ. And Paul the apostle, the last, on the road to Damascus, saw the resurrected Christ. So there's nothing to say that our Christ has not resurrected. Beyond doubt, our Christ has resurrected. The angel uttered this phrase, go and tell his disciple and Peter. Why is Peter singled out? How thoughtful and how tender our Lord is through the angel, that he will single out the backslidden and the hurting Peter. Peter was definitely the backslidden. Peter was definitely the hurting. And yet, Jesus was directing the message to the 12 disciples, the 11 disciples that forsook him at the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter that denied him 3 times. And Jesus went and his first message was, go and tell my disciple. And Peter remembers how he has denied Christ 3 times. So today, I just want to tell you something. After the resurrection, the first message of Jesus is to his disciples and Peter. He's giving an opportunity to backslider and hurting people. Every time you have Resurrection Sunday, you must be reminded that he's giving the opportunity to backslider, and Jesus is giving opportunity to backslider today and the people they are hurting. He's thoughtful. He's tender towards the backslider and the hurting. You know, I said last Friday that we always think that God is only caring about the pious, the committed, those that serve God. And those people, they are not serving God. They are backslidden. God did not love them at all. No. I think we are all very, very wrong. Jesus is just and merciful. And when he's resurrected, he said today, I'm just and I'm merciful. If you are a judge, you expect to be the one to execute justice. You cannot execute mercy if you are a judge. That's why you have the opportunity when you're still alive. But when we go to the white throne judgment, okay, when you stand, that time he is coming, he is executing as the judge, no more mercy. There's only mercy right now, as long as we are alive. So if you are a judge, we do not expect anything from you except justice. We don't expect mercy. Yet God is both a God of justice and a God of mercy. I think we all heard about this famous illustration. Two people went through school and university together, developed a close relationship. Life went on, and they went their separate ways and lost contact. One went on to become a judge. The other's life spiraled downwards, and he ended up a criminal. One day, the criminal appeared before his friend, the judge. He had committed a crime to which he pleaded guilty. The judge recognized his old friend and faced the dilemma. He was a judge, so he had to be just. He couldn't simply let the man off because he is a judge. On the other hand, he wanted to be merciful because he loved his friend. He loved this friend of his. So he fined him the correct penalty for the offense. That was justice. Then he came down from his position as a judge and he wrote a check for the amount of the fine for his friend. He gave it to his friend saying that he will pay the penalty for him. That is an act of mercy, love, and sacrifice. This is our Christ. This was an act of mercy, love, and justice. The illustration may be imperfect because our plight is worse. The penalty we face is death. There is a relationship that is closer. Your Father in heaven loves you more than any earthly parents love you. You know, I was listening to this Christian video. And he was saying something. He talks about tremendous love of God for each and every one of us. And he's made this statement that really started me. He said that if there's only one person in this world, and that is you, Christ will still go to the cross and die for you. There's a power of God's love for each and every one. And we will never understand God's love until we come to Him. We see Him one day face to face. The cost is greater. It costs God far more than money. He came Himself, Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ and paid the penalty for sin. And this Resurrection Sunday, last Friday, I gave you an opportunity. This is another opportunity. This Resurrection Sunday is calling for the Peters, the backslidden and hurting. He comes to you full of mercy and compassion. He says to you, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Maybe we see the wick. Can we have the picture? This is the bruised wheat. But do you know that bruised wheat are used to make musical instrument? God can turn something out of your life and make it a flute. You are bruised. A smoldering wick. Okay? It's like the candle, the wick. Smoke, when you know that fire, when there is smoke, the fire is about to die down. Am I correct? And God say, if you are the bruised wheat, okay, He will not break you. If you are the smoldering wheat, He will not snuff out the life out of you. There are times in life where we are physically, emotionally, spiritually hurting and fragile and sinful. Like the bruised wheat and the smoldering wheat. As I said just now, reed are used for making music and musical instrument. Smoldering wick is actually smoking flax. The fire is about to die. Peter is a bruised reed and a smoking flax. But Jesus, there is a greater person in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was a smoldering, the bruised reed. He was hung on the cross. He was the wheat that was hung on the cross. He was the smoking flax. His life was not just about to snuff out. His life was snuffed out. And because of Jesus Christ, He came out in the Resurrection Sunday. And He said to you, you are the bruised wheat, but I will come to you and I will forgive you and I will use you and I will make you alive. Because of my resurrection life, my resurrection, I'm not just going to forgive you. My resurrection life will come into you and will make something beautiful out of your life like the flute. He said that you are the smoking flag. Your spiritual life is about to die out totally. He said, I will not snuff it out. I will not be so angry with your backsliding, so angry with your, but I will make you alive. He said, I went, my life was snuffed out so that in me when I die, I have the resurrection life. And when I breathe into you, you have the victory. You have the victory. Your life will not be dead anymore because of Jesus Christ. The greater Peter, because of Jesus Christ, he's able to make your life alive one more time. And he's going to be with you and help you to go through life and conquer life. That's the beauty of Resurrection Sunday. Maybe you feel like a defeated Christian. Have you ever felt like a defeated Christian many a times in your life? I do. But to remember how Jesus reached out to defeated Peter after his resurrection, talks about his love for each and every one of us. How the message, go and tell his disciple and Peter, must have cheered Peter, must have given hope to each and every one of us, give hope to our heart when we receive it. We may have been tortured with a memory of dishonesty, of backslidden state, and that suddenly they came, the special message of Jesus, and this message is calling out for you. It was the characteristics of Jesus, not only to Peter, but he not only just went all the way to down the cross of Calvary, his resurrection power is there for you, to make you victorious. It was characteristics of Jesus that he taught, not of the wrong of Peter they have done. I want to tell you today, this morning, God is not thinking of the wrong that you have done. On this Resurrection Sunday, he's thinking of you. His concern is for you. He's far more eager to comfort you. He's far more eager to comfort the penitent sinner than to punish sin. Someone has said, the most precious things about Jesus is the way in which he trusts us on the field of our defeat. The risen Christ makes available the presence of Jesus and his power over sin in our everyday life experience. Number three, the Great Commission. And he is with you. Mark chapter 16, verse 7b, okay? 7b. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. Then you will see him just as he told you. This is authenticated in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. In Galilee, which was also mentioned, it says, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus has designated. See, the word of the angels was not just go to Galilee. No, there was some important meeting. There was a great commission to be given. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came out and spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus did not say that, go, God bless you. Jesus is still with us today. As we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, Jesus is here. Matthew 26, 28, 16 to 20 has been commonly known as a Great Commission. Actually, Jesus has already told his disciples even before his death. Okay? But they couldn't understand that he will meet them. If they listened closely, they would have expected the resurrection. But they did not. So Jesus had a pre-arranged meeting with his disciples in Galilee after his resurrection. The disciple did not clearly understand the theological implication of the event. There was a time, this was a time and a place of the Great Commission. The significance of this is that the Great Commission was not given only to the apostle alone or to the 120 in the upper room, but to the whole church. The Great Commission is given to the whole church. It's for all Christians, not just the church leadership. It was given on at least three occasions. It was given in the upper room, resurrection evening. It was given on the mountain in Galilee, Matthew 28. It was given on the Mount of Olives just before his ascension, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. All Christians are commanded to be lifestyle witnesses. It's not just profession that you are Christian. Okay? God asks for lifestyle witnesses. Your faith is in accordance with your lifestyle. It is a priority, not an option. The term disciple means learner. The Bible did not emphasize decision, accepting Christ as a personal savior, but lifestyle character and lifestyle faith. That's why Jesus said, not everyone that call me Lord, Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Lifestyle faith. Disciple must start definitely with a repentant profession and continue in the same way unto obedience and perseverance in lifestyle weaknesses. All nations must be shocking to the Jews, because the Jews thought that only they, you know, this Holy Week, I realize that God, all the world has been thinking of the whole world, not just the Jews. He loves the Gentiles equally. Then he promised, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. If you are losing faith in Christianity, please remember the unique fact of Christianity, and that is Jesus is alive. Christianity is not obsolete. Christianity is not outdated. Christianity is not just another religion. All other religion records the death of their leader. Not only their leader death, but their leader is an imperfect leader. But our leader is the perfect leader. And our leader not only died, but was resurrected. Only the Christian faith. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can go to God the Father except through me. That's why all other religion cannot come towards it. How sincere this religion can be. They are sincerely wrong. Only the Christian faith records the resurrection of their leader. That is the title of my message. He has risen, and he is risen even until today. Only the Christian faith records the resurrection of its founder. All other religious leader are dead. Muhammad is dead. Hinduism leader is dead. Shintoism is dead. Taoism is dead. Confucianism is dead. All are dead. Only Jesus is alive. This is important and imperative to know. Then he says, he will help you. He don't just give you the commission. That's why we must go and win souls. And now I was sharing to you about last Friday, about where we were inviting people to come to our house, and this three lady, I believe that it was God that saw the hurting lady that tried to commit suicide a few times. And there was a light, maybe in one of our members, that draw her to talk to her, because there is a soul to be saved. We are different. He helps us and guides us and strengthens us to follow the example. He's not only a simple model for life. He's a living presence to help us to live. Jesus is not simply someone whose life must be studied. No. We thank God for SDG. Jesus' life is not just to be studied, whose word must be examined, the teaching must be analyzed. No, those are necessary. But Jesus is not the only one to be studied. He's someone to be met with, to live with every day of our life. He is a living presence. Jesus is not just the greatest hero who lived and died. He is not dead. He is alive. He's not just a hero of the past. He's not merely a hero of the past. He's a living reality of the present. He knows what you're going through. Like Peter, he knows what Peter is going through. He knows, he's interested in the very details of your life. I know recently, I don't know, but every day I'm praying for Ukraine. Praying for Ukraine every day. And every time when I pray for Ukraine, when I read the Bible, God told me and I just cry for Ukraine. I think the day is coming. Why I feel that way? I think the Jews will be persecuted by the Antichrist so much that you will cause every people to just pray and turn to God and call for God to help. That was why exactly I was praying for Ukraine. I said, God, you got to it. Then God said, you don't worry. Okay? Putin wanted to put a leader, okay, as the puppet leader in Ukraine. Okay, his name is called Viktor Melchov. Viktor Melchov is one of the richest billionaire in Ukraine. He got all the money from Putin. He has this decoration. There is a train. And inside the train are all the marbles, the gold-plated. He has 29 houses, apartment in Ukraine. He has billions of dollars. And he has gold everywhere. And he was captured. And God said that, yeah, this guy was, Putin was going to bless this covetous man. But God said, I know what I'm doing. And this guy was captured recently, just captured. So the plan of Putin cannot go through. Then God said that, I know that the poor, the hungry, I said, God, the poor, the hungry, they are crying out to you. And this madman is doing everything to destroy and kill human beings. They are precious in the sight. God said, you don't worry. I know what I'm doing. You know her, right? One of the greatest ship, the biggest ship of Russia, is called Moscow. The capital of Moscow was shot by the Ukrainian soldier and sank. It was a shame to Putin. The whole world said that this ship was used to fight in Afghanistan, fight in East Syria, fight everywhere. And they sank that ship. They sank that ship. It's impossible, but they sank that ship. They said that the ship was just two missiles just flew. You know, it's very hard to destroy this sort of ship because they can detect any kind of missile that is coming, and they will, with the radar, they can shoot down. But these two missiles just flew, boom, the ship, and the captain died. And they, the Russians say, oh, there's a smoke in the ship, and we are trying to tow the ship back to the shore. They continue to tow until the ship sank. No, you. What I'm trying to tell you is that God is interested in every details of our life. God is interested in Ukraine. God is interested in everyday affairs of your life. So, you're Christian, you cannot say, why is such a drag to come to church? No. You can only survive with God. You can only survive with Jesus in this world. And I just want to tell you that every little details of your life, you just pray and God is interested. God is interested in your life. God is interested in your family. God is interested in your relationship. God is interested in your finances. There was this lady, you know, we all heard about the flood, right? In Iloilo. When you say Iloilo, means a province. One of the lady used to attend our church once a month only. We heard about it. Yeah, she was affected. But everybody poured in to help her. The church also poured in something to help her. God is interested in very little details of your life. If you are affected, God knows you are affected. Now you all went through, you all got fire here and there. Huh? The church helps. God is interested in the details of your life. I give you an example of my own life. The little things that God is interested. I remember there was 1 year, I'm finishing. I was returning from Singapore to the Philippines because I went there to have a preaching engagement. And that church booked a Mercedes taxi for me for my ride to the Singapore airport. I wanted to go early because I was very tired so that I can get a good seat, okay, in the plane, and I can stretch my leg in the plane. The best seat is always the exit row where you don't feel cramped out and you can use it for your leg. But this taxi driver, Mercedes taxi driver, which is my friend, suggested otherwise. He said, you don't have to go so early. So I said, okay, I agree with you. So I waited. When I reached the airport, there was a lot of apprehension. When I finally arrived at the airport, check-in counter, the rows was filled up with people checking in. I was so disappointed knowing that now it's impossible. You know, you get the best seat to those that come first, right? It's impossible to get the exit row. I was among the last to check in. Because of the advice of this taxi driver. Can Jesus do anything about the tiny request of mine? I pray. When I finally came face to face with the check-in counter lady, I asked for the exit row. Knowing it's impossible to get. She said she will check. Then I say, I need the exit row. I wonder whether Jesus really cared for me in this little matter of mine. To my surprise, I was given the exit row. It gave me a lot of encouragement that, hey, God is around. God is interested in my life. God is interested in the very details of my life. I was at the airport at 6 a.m. when I arrived at the airport. I arrived at Manila Airport at 1 p.m. I bought a lot of perishable goods, you know, perishable stuff for Pastor Lily, because she has been craving for all those food. She was fasting for a long stretch, and she, when you fast, you miss certain food. So she said to me, if you don't bring this food, don't come back. Yes, it's here. Yeah, she said that. Jokingly or seriously, I don't know. Okay? If I don't get this food, I cannot come back to Iloilo City. I bought the vegetables. I bought the curry puff. I brought a lot of nice stuff. But I'm so afraid. You know, some of these things, they become pan-os after a while. Am I correct? Especially those, somebody bought chicken rice. By the time I reached Iloilo City, it's pan-os already. So I was worried. My flight was at 3 p.m. Okay? But my flight was delayed for 3 hours. I arrived in Iloilo City at 7 p.m. 13 hours later, I arrived in Iloilo City. The food staff has been left in the bag for more than 15 hours with no ventilation. Do you know that all these things can discourage you? It discouraged me. It was trouble all the way. Can Jesus preserve the food? I wonder whether Jesus really cares for even the food in my life or in Pastor Lily's craving. But when I opened the bag at 7:30 p.m. that night, none of the food staff was panos. All this was possible because Jesus is alive. He takes notes of little details of our life. That's why, you know, some of you take religion as just another religion. No. I just want to tell you frankly, Jesus is interested in every little things of our life. He is interested in everything. Little things he's also interested. But he will not spoil you. But if it is really necessary to give it to you, he will give it to you. Without any string attached. Jesus said, today is Resurrection Sunday. I'm with you always. Even unto the end of the world. You know how powerful that is? He's with you always. Even unto the end of the world. This promise is Christ's assurance to those involved in the church, winning souls, involved in the teaching, to obey his righteous standard. Jesus said he will be with you. Jesus arose and he's arrived and he's personally interested in each of his little children. He knows you by your name. He knows the numbers of your hair on your head. He's with you in the person of the Holy Spirit and through his word. That's what I was saying. I was reading. No, I was trying to follow a Bible plan. Because like Pastor Lily, I'm also tired of reading the Bible from Genesis until Revelation every year like that. So I want to do a different thing. And I notice that as I go through this Bible plan, God knows our concern about Ukraine. And God, show me verses about Ukraine. About Putin, how he would deal with him seriously. Do you know that Putin is no different from Hitler? He's no different. Precious human life he just killed. All his soldiers, you know the children that died. The women that were raped. You cannot believe. They say in Mariupol alone, maybe 40,000 civilian citizens are killed. So you must pray, and I challenge all of you, those that are in the zonal prayer meeting, pray for Ukraine. No matter what your condition is, weak, poor, humble, apparently unimportant, like Peter, he cares for you. He watches with concern every details of life's trials and struggles and give both the grace that is sufficient and is present to lead you home. This is a Christian answer to every fear, every doubt, every trouble, every heartache, every discouragement. So you must not be discouraged. You must not be discouraged. Jesus is just a whisper of prayer from you. This morning, remember, it's Resurrection Sunday. Whatever you are going through, you are worried about your future. He's also interested in your future. Just whisper a word of prayer. Jesus, be with me. Be with me. Be with me in wherever I go. Musician, please come. Shall we all stand up? I want to speak to the Peters of today. Maybe whatever reason, okay, whatever reason the COVID-19 has affected you spiritually. And you're very dry. You are like the Bruce Reed. And you are the smoking flag. It's going to be snuffed out already. It's going to be finished. Your Christian life is going, and you think that God don't care. God is so angry with you. As I say, God is concerned for you. And as we sing, I want you to just whisper, Jesus, help me. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for caring for me. But I need you to help me. I really need you to help me to bring me back to my spiritual state. Help me. Help my family. Help my life. Help my children. Help me. Shall we sing? Shall we sing? Life upon the Peters right now. Those that are discouraged, those that are backslidden, those spiritual life are totally dead, and those that are so cold. Father, right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I breathe and I touch the life of these people right now. Because of the resurrection power of Jesus, you will be alive. Alive forevermore. Because you have the resurrection power of Jesus inside you, living inside you, dwelling in you, empowering you, removing all the dirt, removing all the sins, cleansing you by the blood of Jesus Christ, quickening your spirit and dwelling the fountain of life and giving you life one more time in your soul. Right now, I touch these people right now, and they will be grateful to you. They will be thankful to you because you are a wonderful God. To each and every one of us. Let's sing. Let's sing.
Now I have resurrection power. Living on inside Jesus. You have given us freedom.
Amen.
No longer bound by sin and darkness. Living in the light of
yes, amen. Oh, the resurrected Christ, the resurrected life that dwells in each and every one of us right now. Oh, Mama Koro Robo Kiri, Mama Koro Robo Kiri, Mama Koro. You are alive, you are alive, you are alive.
Yes.
yes, yes, yes. Oh, oh, the greatness is God. The life of Christ is going through you. As a lady, you are very worried about your future. God say, why don't you just walk with me? Don't worry about it. Just walk with me. Just love me. And God say, I will turn something beautiful for your life. Trust in me. Trust in me. Trust not circumstances. Trust not people. Trust not anything. Just trust in me. If you are a person, just put your trust in Jesus. Father, right now we thank you for your word to each and every one of us. God, we thank you one more time for Resurrection Sunday. Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross of Calvary for our sin. Not only you die, but you revive us today. You revive us and you quicken us today. Father, help us to walk with you every day of our life. And we do not have to be afraid of anything that is ahead of us. Because you walk in front of us. And you will not allow anything to destroy us. But everything will happen according to your plan. We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, we pray. God bless you. Please be seated.